This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. This afternoon, clouds will break up, giving a mix of sun and clouds for the region. Temps will be in the 20s today. Tonight into tomorrow morning, a few snow showers, wintry mixed showers, bringing some light accumulation to the northern Red River Valley near the international border. And tomorrow afternoon and evening, partly sunny, and then highs will be in the low 30s for tomorrow. Additional snow showers expected overnight through Sunday evening. Strong northwest winds over 30 miles per hour could cause some blowing snow, slick roads, and low visibility. Arctic air also moving in on Sunday, highs in the single digits and sub-zero lows overnight. World Weather Incorporated reporting southern and western Brazil and Paraguay saw rain midweek, while much of the rest of the region stayed dry. Rain will continue over the next 2 weeks over much of that region supporting crops. Northeastern areas will remain mostly dry till midweek. In northern and central Argentina, midweek rain boosted soil moisture with some heavy totals reported. Rain continuing early next week, favoring crops but slowing field work. After midweek, showers will be lighter and more scattered with drier conditions in the southwest. U.S. agriculture saw many new developments in 2025, such as a new administration, a new ag secretary, and new policies, with more to come in the new year. USDA chief economist Seth Myers suggests it's been a turbulent year for American agriculture.
There's been a lot of things this year that have affected the overall market. There's been a lot in the kind of the typical stuff that we talk about in terms of straight weather. There's been unusual events in terms of animal diseases,
including the spread of avian flu here and New World screwworm northward in Mexico. And then there were President Trump's reciprocal tariffs that boomeranged at U.S. soybean and other producers, spurring more planned farm aid.
A lot of action on the trade front in terms of policy, other policies like ad hoc disaster assistance being rolled out in the last year, and pending bridge payments to be provided in the new year. And a lot of the things that describe or influenced by the health of the ag sector as well.
And the new year, we'll see a review of USMCA with the U.S.'s other two most important ag trade partners, Canada and Mexico. For only the second time in 2025, the Rural Main Street Index moved above growth neutral. The December reading coming in at 50.1, up sharply from 44 in November and the highest level since July. The index, based on a monthly survey of bank CEOs across a 10-state rural region tied to agriculture and energy, with 50 considered growth neutral. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says weak commodity prices and high input costs continue to limit economic activity for grain producers. Half of the surveyed bankers say reducing farm tariffs and trade restrictions would be the most effective way to boost farm income. Farmland values also moving above growth neutral for just the second time in the past 20 months, while farm loan delinquencies rising only 1.6% over the past 6 months. After another volatile year in the commodity markets, agribusiness consultant Michael Quistad says consistent global production and slower demand growth continue to pressure grain prices, creating a prolonged lower price environment for farmers, and that's heading into 2026.
Well, number one is the continued production cycle globally that has lacked a threat to a new crop production throughout the last 2 or 3 years, and how that extended in 2025. And we're seeing evidence of that again as the U.S. and the Northern Hemisphere just finished up a harvest of another very good crop, and the Southern Hemisphere, particularly South America, is on track for another record or near record crop of corn and soybeans. And that production consistency has been the framework for the realization of a sustained lower price environment for grains and oilseeds.
Quistad says while tariffs raised concerns early on, inflation data now shows consumer prices easing, creating a more favorable economic backdrop moving forward. However, he says agriculture remains challenged by expanding global competition and demographic shifts at home.
We are in an environment where there is ongoing expansion of planted acres, not in the U.S., not in Canada, but in South America, in South Africa. And so obviously that increases the competitive nature of global trade. And then you couple that with the embracing of production-enhancing technology that is taking place all over, and the trend of production not being threatened from a weather perspective, the production issue exceeding the growth rate in demand, and we stay in this lower price environment. I think some of this is self-inflicted wounds on the part of the U.S.
Quisten adds labor shortages and the loss of generational knowledge remaining growing concerns across agriculture, further complicating efforts to improve the margins despite expectations that the cycle will eventually turn. USDA forecasting the ag trade deficit will shrink more than previously expected in 2026. USDA now projecting the deficit will fall from $43.7 billion in the fiscal year 25 to $37 billion in fiscal year 26, based on its quarterly trade forecast that came out on Tuesday. That's an improvement from the August outlook, which projected a $41.5 billion deficit this fiscal year. The improved forecast driven largely by stronger than expected exports. USDA now expects agricultural exports to total $173 billion in fiscal year 2026, up from the $169 billion estimate in August, though still below the $175.6 billion recorded in fiscal year 2025. AgriPulse is reporting the improved outlook is tied to stronger demand from China, with additional gains expected in South Korea, Japan, Mexico, and Southeast Asia. The U.S. Ag Department is planning a series of international agribusiness trade missions next year aimed at further expanding and diversifying markets for U.S. producers. Six missions are scheduled from February through November, targeting key global markets in Asia, the Middle East, and the Pacific region. USDA says the effort is designed to connect U.S. exporters with buyers in fast-growing and strategically important regions, noting that strengthening exports is critical to the success of both the ag economy and the broader U.S. economy. This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Grain markets trading quietly in holiday conditions, low volume limiting movement. Allendale Incorporated market analyst Greg McBride says a shortened session and lack of fresh news keeping that trade subdued.
We did see a gap higher on the beans to start. That looked good for us. It's a little bit more of a follow through, getting us back up to that old 62% retracement of the low move from October to the high move in November. So we've hit our resistance point on the way back up here. It looks like a good recovery. We did fill that gap, so there's nothing underneath us to worry about there anymore.
McBride says corn quiet, no export news driving the market.
Corn again quiet. There's no export sales or anything to talk about here this morning. So we're just kind of going on follow through and kind of a lackluster trade. The big thing we're watching right now is just going to be, will there be any bleed over from what's happening in the metal market with the dollar being down and the metal markets just going on fire over the last few weeks here?
Livestock markets ending the holiday shortened week mostly quiet. Cattle showing some modest strength. Hogs under pressure. Comstock Investments analyst Joe Camp says outside markets and seasonal demand helping support those cattle prices.
In part, you've got a general supportive environment in the outside financial markets. Stocks aren't running away, but they're not down hard either. And we're still looking at, just into this week, new record highs for the major indexes, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500. That's the type of general sort of end of year, that so-called Santa Claus rally, that optimism about the position of the consumer that can spill over into a supportive influence for cattle futures.
Camp says seasonal trends in wholesale beef prices also providing support, while hogs continue to lag following recent supply data.
We're getting that, people thinking about those prime rib roasts over the holidays and the performance here these last several sessions for wholesale beef prices, and that seasonality of normally expecting higher prices to wrap up the calendar year and maybe pushing into the next as well. So we'll watch that. Hogs down just a touch here. They're still dealing with a more negative leaning on the quarterly hogs and pigs update. It was the final December summary as well, and that, as it leaned bearish, only getting a slightly bearish reaction for now on prices, but down just moderately they are so far, again, compared to that moderately higher cattle trade.
Growing strength in those outside markets drawing a lot of attention, though. AgMarket.net market analyst Matt Bennett says the metals market continuing to attract fund money, highlighting broader interest in commodities.
That's been where all the action's been here lately. You know, you look at the grains and how do those intersect? I mean, the thing is, the funds really want to own these metals right now. There's just been a lot of action over there. Gold market, silver market. I mean, silver's an all-time high again this morning, up $5 an ounce. Just absolutely incredible run we've seen here.
Bennett says that same appetite for commodities could eventually spill over into the corn market, especially if some other market drivers show.
I do think they may want to own the ags at some point. We just got to give them a story to buy, you know. Obviously, fantastic demand for corn. Export demand's been great. Ethanol grind's been awfully strong. Of course, feed demand's not what it was whenever those cattle were coming north out of Mexico. But regardless, you know, if you could get a weather situation develop in South America as far as that Safrinha crop goes, I've got to think the funds might step in here in 26 and maybe want to own some corn, at least inject some weather premium into it, because there's no doubt they want to own commodities right now. It's just the ags are kind of left on the sideline.
Long-awaited proposed rule for the 45Z clean fuel production credit moving forward. The Treasury Department has sent the rule to the White House Office of Management and Budget for review. That's a final step before it can be released for public comment. While that review can take months, the rule was formally submitted December 17th. The 45Z credit was created under the Inflation Reduction Act, later extended through 2029 under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which also adjusted eligibility requirements. A district court in Iowa ruling in favor of Summit Carbon Solutions to pause a legal challenge from a group of landowners, counties, and the Sierra Club. This will give the Iowa Utilities Commission the opportunity to change language in Summit's proposed permit for a carbon capture pipeline. The original permit specified permission had been granted in South Dakota and North Dakota before construction could begin in Iowa. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The national potato industry preparing for its biggest annual gathering as Potato Expo 2026 gets set to kick off early next month in Dallas, Texas. National Potato Council Chief Executive Officer Cam Quarles says the event brings together the full scope of the industry at a critical planning point for producers.
Yeah, we're really excited. So we're going to be in Dallas, Texas. It will be just after the start of the new year. This is a time when the entire North American potato industry, but then even broader than that, we have participants from well over 30 different countries will come to the Potato Expo. It's right at the beginning of the year. It's when producers are able to make their plans for the coming year.
Quarles says the expo showcases the full supply chain from the growers to the end users, highlighting the diversity and scale of the potato sector.
You really see the entirety of this incredibly diverse, thriving industry under one roof. And you see it from the farm all the way to the end customer, be it retailers or processors. It's a very fun event. It's the way we kick off every single year, and we think this one's going to be the best one we've ever had.
The Potato Expo runs January 6th through the 8th in Dallas, Texas. We'll have exclusive coverage here on the Red River Farm Network. Taking a look at the markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat May. We're down a quarter cent at 590. May Chicago is down 2.5 at 529 and 3/4. And March Kansas City, we're down a half cent, 533.5. March corn is down 1.5 at 449.5. And the January soybeans, we're down 4.75 right now, 1058.5. Switching over to the livestock numbers now, we have February live cattle up $1.25 at 229.80. Feeder cattle, we have January up $1.92, and that's at 346.65. February lean hogs now is down 50 cents, 84.55. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 81 points, 48,650. Thank you for listening to the Red River Farm Network.